Next is a Sunday Feast lecture given on November 8th, 1998 in Dublin, Ireland.
All right. I'm going to read from the Isopanishad, which is one of the 108 Upanishads of the Vedas, mantras 9 and 10. Antantamak pravishanti ye vidyam upasate tato buya ibate tamo ya uvidyayam rataha. Translation. Those who engage in the culture of nescient activities shall enter into the darkest region of ignorance. Worse still are those engaged in the culture of so-called knowledge. And mantra 10. Anyad evahur vidyaya, anyad ahur avidyaya, iti shushru madhiranam, yenastad vichachakshire. Translation. The wise have explained that one result is derived from the culture of knowledge and that a different result is obtained from the culture of nescience. So in this part of the Isopanishad and in other places also, there's a discussion about knowledge and ignorance. And spiritual knowledge and material knowledge. In the material world, what we know as knowledge is very different from what we read in Isopanishad or Bhagavad Gita. So it's important, if someone is pursuing spiritual knowledge, to know the difference. Because as we'll hear, if you get very absorbed in the pursuit of material knowledge, that will prevent your coming to spiritual success. So in material knowledge, there are different goals. We think of education in the schools and universities now. They're in the home stretch of taking examinations before Christmas. And so schools and universities, especially nowadays, it's to prepare yourself for a career. Because without knowledge, you can't you cannot get a good job, you cannot earn much money. And without money, we cannot get the things we want for material enjoyment, a house, a car, and so on. So actually, the education is more and more just a ticket to get these things, these specific training, it may be just a technical training or some more sophisticated training. More and more degrees you have, then you get a better job. Of course, some people still have the classical idea of education and knowledge for knowledge's sake, what man has speculated on in philosophy and other fields throughout the centuries, in which people study, but that may also be used for money earning, and at any rate, it is also considered material knowledge, if it doesn't come to the point that we'll hear about in Isopanishad. And discussing material knowledge, we might give special attention to science, hard science, and the power that has been derived by man through trying to control the material world through manipulation of science, which is done through man's increasing awareness of how things operate in the world and his ability to manipulate them. This makes man very proud of his power through knowledge, and perhaps not inclined to consult old books of religion and spirit thinking. What have I to learn from them? The sooner we get rid of them, the better. This is often the attitude Prabhupada used to lament in India, which is such a wealth of spiritual knowledge, and which the political leaders have come to think that their spiritual knowledge is actually the cause of their hindrance in becoming materially successful. But now they're losing both ways if they give up their Vedic knowledge. So, to discuss spiritual knowledge, in the Mantra 10, Prabhupada, in his purport, he refers to the Bhagavad Gita, the 13th chapter, where in the verses 8 to 12, there are 18 items listed by Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead, which he says are the items of knowledge. And aside from these, he says everything else is ignorance. So, in this Upanishad, Prabhupada gives a very free translations of these. And the word choices he makes are quite interesting. They're expansions on the concise Sanskrit, which is usually just one word, that Krishna gives in Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada gives a sentence to each of these 18 items. I'd like to read them, not spend so much time, maybe some of them just read, but some of them in the same mood of Prabhupada doing it freely. I see what comes to mind and discuss some of these. What we'll see right away is that knowledge is a way of life. It is not something theoretical. You have to actually live in a certain way to be considered educated and to get the real knowledge which comes to a successful human being. So, starting in, number one, one should himself become a perfect gentleman and learn to give proper respect to others. If you were being asked, after giving our little introduction to different kinds of material knowledge, if someone were to ask, what is a very important item of knowledge, you could hardly expect someone to say this, to become a perfect gentleman. And what does it mean to be a gentleman? Actually, this is Prabhupada's expansion on the one word by Krishna as humility. Adambitam. One should be humble. Not be proud. If we start with this, then whatever knowledge we may get through material science or other things, how much better we'd be able to handle it and to deal with it and to deal with other people in the world. And lacking this, how much trouble we'll get into. So this perfect gentleman, this is not superficial or it's not a social thing that underlings should give respect to social superiors, but rather, he says, give respect to everyone. You give respect even to the animals, even to the ant. Chanada Pisa Nichena, Lord Chaitanya says that one should give respect to all living beings and not be anxious to get respect for himself. This is a very advanced position, but this is actual knowledge. So if you were to judge, I wonder if this person is, not that we should go around judging people, but it's natural. We meet someone and we're impressed or not impressed. Think, well, that person is quite ignorant, or that person seems to be intelligent. What is your basis for thinking like that? Is it how they dress or that they say, I have a PhD or I work in this place? But rather, if you see somebody having these qualities, you can think that this person, either from their past lives or somehow or other, they've arrived at a position of humility. This is very good. Number two, one should not pose himself as a religionist simply for name and fame, which is Prabhupada's expansion on the word prideless. It's almost like a second way of saying the first one, humility, and don't be proud. But giving a little attention to, we're not just interested in the Sanskrit, but Prabhupada's realization. So he says, don't pose yourself as a religionist. He particularly pays attention to those kinds of people, not just the banker and the politician, but the man who comes forward and says, I'm a religionist, or I'm a Hare Krishna person. But he's a puffed up person. For some reason or other, he's thinking that if he poses himself as a religionist, people will be impressed with him. There are all kinds of ways that you may conceive that you'll be respected. So some people may think that they'll be respected if they act very religious. So this is simply a charade, or make-believe. And this kind of pride is not indicative of somebody who actually has knowledge. Both of these indicate self-knowledge. Another philosopher who Prabhupada respected was Socrates, who, for him, knowledge meant not something out there, but within yourself. And if you know yourself, and to know yourself often means to cut away at all the falsity, and to know what you're not, and don't pretend to be something you're not. So many people have accumulated some kind of material knowledge, but they don't know themselves, and they have puffed up ideas of who they are. At the end of these, I'll leave time for discussion. Number three, one should not become a source of anxiety to others by the actions of his body, by the thoughts of his mind, or by his words, which is an expansion on ahimsa, or nonviolence. So the plundering attitude of the human being toward the earth, toward the other species, is a sign of sure ignorance. Ignorance, it should have some evidence that something is ignorant, also that it brings bad results. And for example, now people are widely lamenting that because man has raped this earth planet for so long in different ways, now we're getting so many bad reactions, with so many shortages, and we've polluted our environment. We should not have done this. So this is the result. When you act in an ignorant way, you get a bad reaction. So a knowledgeable person won't do something that later he'll get a bad karmic reaction for. This is intelligence. Do not act in a way that causes anxiety to others. The knowledgeable person we'll see is very saintly, as being described so far. We don't see so far evidence. He has a big IQ. He knows all the fields of science and philosophy, this and that. But he's very, or she is very, has saintly qualities. Lives at peace with oneself and with others. If everyone could be knowledgeable like this, the world would be very better place. Number four, one should learn forbearance, even in the face of provocation from others. He's seeing if we have this item of knowledge. Tolerance. So tolerance means that, yeah, it's a test. Someone provokes you, but still you remain peaceful. How is he able to do that? He is practicing forbearance, control of the mind, control of the senses, and has arrived at some center of peace that is not disturbed by the inevitable provocations that come in it by living in this material world. Which really means you have some spiritual reservoir to draw on, so you say, all right, this thing is happening, it's bothering me, these people are bothering me, this environment is troubling me, my body is troubling me, but what can I expect? That's the nature of this material world. Let me think of Krishna and not be troubled. We're reading along. I just mentioned explicitly Krishna, or God consciousness. So we'll soon see more and more that these saintly qualities, they themselves are like gradual stages, or you could say foundation work for God consciousness, Krishna consciousness, which is real knowledge. And even the saintly qualities don't have ultimate value unless you come to God consciousness. And another way of saying it is, say, for example, tolerance, is that tolerance and nonviolence, they really should be understood from a God-conscious point of view. That all comes out, actually, in item number 16. We'll see when we get to it, and a few others along the way. Number 5, one should learn to avoid duplicity in his dealings with others. This is from the Bhagavad Gita word for simplicity. Simplicity means be what you say you are, or what you say you're doing. Don't say one thing and do another thing. Don't cheat. And you're dealing with others. Someone may be a very clever, knowledgeable cheat and think, well, no, knowledgeable means to cheat very expertly and don't get caught. But that is not what's being taught here in Bhagavad Gita. It said better to not even cheat in the first place. You'll simply get in trouble one way or another. You'll get caught by the law, or you'll be caught by the law of God, or you'll be unhappy. Just be simple and don't cheat others. If you can act in that way, you're knowledgeable. 1.6, one should search out a bona fide spiritual master who can lead him gradually to the stage of spiritual realization, and one must submit himself to such a spiritual master, render him service, and ask relevant questions. Acharya Upasanam. We cannot do all these things by ourselves. We have to have the help of a spiritual master. Any system of education or knowledge, you need a teacher. So to learn humility and all these other things, we need to learn it from a teacher. It's not exactly that you go to a university and there's a spiritual teacher and he teaches you by his academic knowledge of the subject. But you live with the spiritual master, or you inquire from him, you see how he acts, and you learn that way. You ask questions, and he speaks on the basis of his own experience from his spiritual master and from his knowledge of the Vedic text and his experience of it. 7, in order to approach the platform of self-realization, one must follow the regulative principles enjoined in the revealed scriptures. This is Prabhupada's purport, you could call it, on the item called socham, or cleanliness. Cleanliness, you may think that I wash my body and wear clean clothes, don't think dirty thoughts. So Prabhupada says you can become clean if you follow rules and regulations of spiritual life. We follow in Krishna consciousness movement no illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling. This keeps us clean. If you're not clean, then you cannot have spiritual knowledge, because the spiritual knowledge is the supreme pure Krishna. 8, one must be fixed in the tenets of the revealed scriptures. That's steadfast. We really follow these things. We're determined not to give up and not to be shaken by any arguments against them and so forth. 9, one should completely refrain from practices that are detrimental to the interest of self-realization. That's self-control. So knowledge means I know what I should do, I know the difference between right and wrong, and not only that, but I do the right. If you know I really shouldn't smoke cigarettes, it's not good for my health, but I do it anyway, then what is that, I know cigarettes aren't good? It doesn't amount to very much. If you know they're not good, then why are you doing it? So this is called self-control. That's a part of knowledge. 10, one should not accept more than he requires for the maintenance of the body. or that's renunciation. 11. One should not falsely identify himself with the gross material body or consider those who are related to his body to be his own. That's ahankar, or false ego, that I think I'm this body. This is ABC of spiritual knowledge, which Krishna teaches in the Bhagavad Gita in the second chapter. Often when we introduce Krishna consciousness to an audience who hasn't heard anything about it, we'll start with this point. And it may be shocking to them to consider it, that we say, who are you? If somebody asks you, who are you? What will you say? You'll actually say something which is your bodily designation. You'll say, I'm a man, I'm a woman, I'm white, I'm black, and so forth. Those are all bodily designations. Those are temporary coverings of your real self. You're actually a spirit soul. So this is knowledge. And if you don't know this, if you think, no, I'm this body, that's who I am. I am Joe Jones because my parents gave me that name. I'm the son of my parents, and so on. That's ahankar. That is not knowledge. That is ignorance. And if you act your whole life like that, it'll just be for temporary things, which at the time of death all get just like a chalkboard. It's just erased. That's the end of it. You're not that person anymore. And all those persons you worked for who were connected with your body, it's just all gone. All that's left is reaction to the things you did, especially your failure to pursue spiritual life. And number 12, you may have heard this quoted, the Sanskrit, Janma Mrityu Jarabadi Dukkha Doshan Udarshanu. One should always remember that as long as he has a material body, he must face the miseries of repeated birth, old age, disease, and death. There is no use in making plans to get rid of these miseries of the material body. The best course is to find out the means by which one may regain his spiritual identity. So this item of knowledge is sometimes translated as to know the evil of, or to know the to know that birth, death, disease, and old age are inevitable, and they're bad. They're a bad bargain. This is material life, that we have to be born with sufferings accompanying them, and these other stages. And then the next question is, if it's so bad, is there a way out of this? But a person who doesn't even consider these things, who does research in other areas of knowledge and tries to be happy without admitting that these are the real problems of life, that person doesn't have knowledge. And in the Isopanishad, in the purports, Prabhupada criticizes educators specifically. He says that educators are worse than people who don't have any education, who are just engaged in ordinary sense gratification, common people. But a person who is leading others, but is actually misleading them, not teaching them these tenets that we're reading, that's a more dangerous person. Just as a cobra with a jewel on its head is still a cobra, or more dangerous than another ordinary cobra. So the and Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he made a statement about material education. He said all the different departments of education are just all within the material energy, and they're illusory, and they create a kind of glaring energy that attracts us. But if you develop them, you become no better than a donkey, what he said. So there's this strong condemnation, not just of ignorance, but of those who come forward and say that we are educators, and yet they lack the real spiritual knowledge. So some person who says, I'm learned, but he's not facing birth, death, disease, and old age as the real problems of life, where is his education? We don't respect him as an educated person. 13. One should not be attached to more than the necessities of life for spiritual advancement. 14. One should not be more attached to wife, children, and home than the revealed scriptures ordain. 15. One should not be happy or distressed over desirables and undesirables created by the mind. 16. Now, 16, Prabhupada in his Bhagavad Gita purport says, This is the most important. And if you fail to develop this one, but you develop the others, they're ultimately of no use. One should become an unalloyed devotee of the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, and serve him with rapt attention. So there is God. He's the supreme being. We're all his parts and parcels. That's knowledge. But this book, Upanishad, it starts out in the first mantra, Isavasyam idam sarvam. There is one supreme personality of Godhead. He is the proprietor of everything. Every living being is entitled to take a certain quota, but they should know that God is the proprietor. So if you lack this knowledge, the knowledge of God, then you have no knowledge. 17. One should develop a liking for residence in a secluded place with a calm and quiet atmosphere favorable for spiritual culture, and one should avoid congested places where non-devotees congregate. 18. One should become a scientist or philosopher and conduct research into spiritual knowledge, recognizing that spiritual knowledge is permanent, whereas material knowledge ends with the death of the body. This is an important list, and there are similar discussions of the value system that we follow in Krishna consciousness, and the parting of the ways between spiritual and material values. We should regularly hear Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam to know what our values are, and try not to pick up these material values even while we live in the material world. I thought of some other descriptions of knowledge that Prabhupada has given. There's one concise description. The word is used, educated. The definition of an educated person given by the political moralist of India, Chanakya Pandit. So he says, an educated person is one who sees every woman, except his wife, as a mother, who regards the property of others as garbage thrown in the street, and who treats other people as he would like to be treated himself. So again, it's kind of a disarming definition compared to highfalutin definitions of what knowledge might be. In terms of material science or Western psychology or even self-knowledge, these decent behaviors and foundations to spiritual life like this. A person who is very lusty, maybe a university professor or a great artist and writer or something, but he's always after sex life, doesn't regard the sanctity of marriage after another man's wife and so forth, engaged in illicit sex. We regard this as that he's not really educated, and those other items are mentioned there, not after somebody else's goods. So these are moral principles by Chanakya Pandit, but Prabhupada thought they were worthy. On a more even transcendental devotional note, there's a definition of educated person given by Prahlad Maharaj. Actually, a couple of times, Prahlad Maharaj was the little devotee boy of Lord Krishna, whose father was the great demon of his time, Hiranyakashipu. So twice, Hiranyakashipu sent his son to school, and he had two first-class demon teachers who were always trying to teach him politics, the craft of ruling over others. But the boy was stubborn. He wouldn't learn. So twice, although Hiranyakashipu got disturbed with his son, he put him on his knee, and with affection he asked, "What is the best thing you learned in school, my son?" But one time when he asked, Prahlad said, "Nasaru manye," Suravarja Dehina. Oh, my dear, best of the atheists, the best thing I learned is that if home life is very unconducive to spiritual life, so that it can be compared to a deep well in which you have fallen, it is better to get out of that home life and go into the forest or to Vrindavan and cultivate spiritual life. Give up material life. This was his best thing that he learned. Of course, he didn't learn it in that school. He learned that from Narada Muni, the revolutionary teacher. Krishna consciousness is revolutionary. If you take to it, you have to be prepared to be a revolutionary. Not that you get a gun and go in the streets, but to go against the tide of all these definitions of what is a successful person, what it means to be on top and everything. We have very different values. And at least in a quiet way that you have your own convictions, that you defy this other standard and say, I don't admire those heroes. I'm not going to follow those teachers. I'm going to live this way, which is the way of the real path of enlightenment. So Narada Muni was the revolutionary teacher of Prahlad. And then another time, the second time, Hiranyakashipu asked his son, what is the best thing you learned? And the boy began to chant, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atman, Ivedanam, Iti, Punsharpita, Dharma. My dear father, I learned that if a person engages in hearing and chanting about Vishnu, serving his lotus feet, any one of these things, or several of them, becoming his servant, becoming his friend, saying prayers to him, giving everything to him, that person is the most educated person in society. So this is this definition by young Prahlad is pure bhakti. These are the nine elements of bhakti. And this is entirely transcendental and separate from material education. Well, we would look forward to the day where this could be taught in the university, the different departments of bhakti, and people could learn more and more how to learn these arts and sciences and practice them. Fortunately, it's not so difficult to take up, and the Krishna consciousness movement can teach people how to do it, so that people can learn by reading these books and hearing from other devotees how to do it in their homes, how to chant the holy names of God, which especially in Kali Yuga, this is the great shortcut to gaining knowledge of God. If we go back to this item that's the most important of all, 16, to become a pure devotee of Krishna. Now that's not something you can take. It has to be given by Krishna. Krishna says, there's no way someone can know me unless I give him my mercy. He can be a strict sannyasi, he can study the Vedas, be a celibate and so forth, be a good householder, but that's not the way. Knowledge of me is only known by the person I give mercy to, my mercy to. So it comes from Krishna, it descends from Krishna through Krishna's pure devotees. Again, the difference between material knowledge, which if you work real hard, you can get it, you can obtain it from the books, from the teachers. But this knowledge, although work and austerity is helpful, it ultimately has to come from Krishna. So what does Krishna say is the way that will please him? He says, well, this is a very bad time for you to approach me. You've been born into the Kali Yuga. Formerly, it used to be that people could live a long, long time. They were spiritually powerful. There were so many qualified gurus who could teach them. They wouldn't even need a book. They could just hear it in their ear and they'd remember it forever and practice austerities. The society wasn't so polluted. So you're born into a very bad age. You can't practice meditation. You don't live long enough. So you can't practice religious sacrifices. There are no Brahmins, no money. But I've made an arrangement that in this age, if you just chant my holy names, then you can attain the knowledge, the vidya, whereby you can become my devotee. I'll be very pleased by you. Harinama, Harinama, Harinama Kevalam, Kolona Stevana, Stevana, Stevaga Tiranyata. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. If we meet a person who's always chanting Hare Krishna, that's a very knowledgeable person. Prabhupada used to invite his audiences that if they wanted to learn the science of God according to modern intellectual method of logic, inquiry, satisfactory explanation by philosophical discourse, then you come forward and you read our books. We can occupy you in that way. Many, many books. But if you don't have time or you're not inclined to that approach, then just chant the names of God. It will be just as good. So a person who has somehow or other come to that conclusion, to not appease anichana, to roi vasahishana, amanina, amanidina, kirtaniya siddhahari, is worthy of our respect, is really an educated person, and has figured out that this life is very brief. It has these great defects, janma mrityu jarabadi, and I should just engage myself in the authorized process of serving God and aspire to go back to Godhead as soon as possible. He's the most educated person, and by comparison, everyone else is immersed in avidya. All right, thank you very much. So now, are there any questions or comments we can discuss? Yes.
I like this thing that you said, that not good enough to know, you must act. I feel that sometimes I have a lot of knowledge myself, but I'm not acting on it.
Yeah, we almost have too much knowledge, or we have so much knowledge in Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada, he gives the example once about the knowledge is sometimes compared to a weapon, jnana. Like Krishna says to Arjuna, take the weapon of knowledge and slay the doubts. But then in another place in the Bhagavatam, the Prabhupada kind of expands on that you have this big weapon, a big sword or a big bow, but a little person, how can he has a weapon but he can't use it. He has a little body and a big weapon. What good is the weapon? So he says, we have to pray to Lord Balaram to give us the strength. It's not a material strength to use the weapon of knowledge, but it's a strength. So there we are, looking at the book, Bhagavad Gita, the knowledge. It's in my head, what I heard my spiritual master say, but here I am breaking the principles. So how can I use this knowledge? You have to pray to the Lord, give me the strength to be able to use the knowledge. Otherwise, we've been talking about a failure to have knowledge, either because you have the wrong knowledge, but you brought up another failure, is that you have access to spiritual knowledge, but somehow you can't follow it. So that's another inability. It's not as bad, we could say, as the other. At least you know what the right thing is. And so you have to just pray to Krishna, please let me do what I know I should do. If you become very hardened about that, then it can be very bad. Then gradually the knowledge will go away from you. The more and more you so-called know what you should do and you don't do it, then your heart will become hard and you start to think, well, maybe that's not the right thing to do anyway. Let me just do what I want to do. If it's so impossible, then how can it be real knowledge? So you start thinking like that. You have to start feeling good about this knowledge, that I'm making some progress, or I'm trying it and I'm getting some results. So you shouldn't be complacent about saying, well, I know what the knowledge is, and one of these lifetimes I'll start doing it. better start doing it right away. Before Krishna says, now you've had enough chance to follow this knowledge, now the curtain's coming again between you and this knowledge, the yoga maya. We've been given a rare opportunity that we've been given the chance to see Krishna and to see this knowledge. We have to show Krishna our sincerity. But we discussed this sometimes, that there isn't the nice humility of he says one shouldn't become a religious man and be puffed up by that. If somebody thinks, yes, I know the Vedic knowledge and I follow it all to the T, and someone else thinks, I don't follow it, I'm so unfortunate, the second person could be in a better position, that he's feeling very humble that I don't follow the essence of Krishna consciousness, I don't love Krishna. And the other person is thinking, yes, I'm a first-class Brahmin, I'm a first-class Vaishnava. If you can't follow, you should cry to be able to follow. And then put yourself in a position where you can be helped. Like the alcoholic, you know, in the Alcoholics Anonymous, the very first point is, I admit that I'm addicted, I'm a failure, and it's beyond me, I can't help myself. And I want to do something about it. So if you have access to spiritual knowledge but you can't follow it, then you should make an admission like that and turn yourself in to the local AA center, or the spiritual equivalent of that. Say, I got to do something about this. Somebody else? Yeah.
Excuse me. I was wondering when I'm on the car every day to go to and I'm chanting a lot, I often chant for the rest of the car in the job to see in the car, and I was wondering, is it really bad? I know that Krishna is not an order to flower, and is it really bad to say, can I sort it with the top of the heaven, they try to not be bothered too much, but these people give me grief at the office and the job, you know? Is that really...
That's a good prayer. Yeah. Yeah, because we read one of the items was one should learn forbearance or tolerance even in the face of provocation from others. So you're praying for this, that when people provoke me, I don't want to get upset by them. I want to remain peaceful and Krishna conscious. So your prayer is that Krishna, please help me do this. That's a good prayer. It's another way of saying, please let me remember you. I want to remember you. It's not just a selfish material prayer. It's a nice prayer. Yeah.
When you're saying about knowing what is right, but that I'm not necessarily practicing it, something that's said as well, that it's better to do something imperfect that's within your nature. Perhaps you do something that's not in your nature. Perhaps if you find it as something that you know you should be doing, or that is prescribed as being a recommended practice, but you find it's just not in your nature, perhaps you feel that you're led to a family to try and catch that family, even though it's a material problem. Is it possible for you to draw a line between saying, right, I can't pass this line, this is just not within my nature, or should you always try and cross that line and always go forward?
Well,
where do you draw
one thing that comes to mind by what you're saying is that practice of Krishna consciousness is individual, meaning that each person has their own application of it, and so it's good to get to have your own understanding of these books and apply it, and also to have some people you can trust who can help you, who won't try to impose on you something that's impossible for you, and present you there should be some challenge to try to improve from what we're doing, but not in a way that is always discouraging us because we're trying to do things that we can't do. So within certain situations, we just have to try to be as Krishna conscious as we can. Like it said, one shouldn't be attached to family members any more than is taught by the scriptures. Wife, children, and home. Well, what does that mean? Does that mean I should walk out on my family because they're not devoted enough to Krishna? Somebody could make an extreme interpretation like that. Should I not be affectionate to my wife? Should I neglect my children and that will be very knowledgeable and spiritual? No, it doesn't mean that. So you have to be careful. A little knowledge is a dangerous thing. These things can be misused.